Your Bibles, please turn to Daniel chapter 1, remain standing. Daniel chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 8 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Daniel 1, verses 3 through 8. Now in verse 6, there's three long names in there, all right? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I'm just giving you a warning, it's coming, all right? You say, well, I wouldn't pronounce them that way. You won't remember after it's over anyway. All right. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And we'll read this passage responsively. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto the name, gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Holy Spirit of God, would you use tonight in a special way? Help us as we go through the holiday season and even with the rest of our Christian life to be able to use this sermon tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Holidays can be a difficult time for Christians. Most everybody in here has family that either is lost or don't live like Christians, or you have parties where you work and people don't party at work like they should. And there's other areas of life that are like that. It can make living your Christian life difficult on you and difficult on them. Let me say right here, we should do right no matter who we are around and no matter where we are. Yes. The doing of right doesn't change because of geography or because of the people you're with. That's hard when you know them. That's hard when you love them, and it's hard when you're related to them. We're not to take holidays off from God. We're not supposed to take a vacation from God. Amen. Not taking a vacation from Christianity. I also believe that you don't have to be a rude, holier-than-thou jerk to live the Christian life either. There is a balance. Now, you can live right around people who are not right, no matter what their last name is. Now, I'm not saying they're going to understand, nor am I saying they will agree with you always. But you can still choose to live right and not be a jerk about it. That's probably not a good word, is it? It's one I used, all right? My wife's giving me that eye, all right? I could tell by the look in her eye I shouldn't have used that word. But I didn't want to use the word Hillary. Daniel was a young man, college-age type young man, who was taken in the captivity by Babylon. You have to understand, much of the Old Testament was written about a 70-year period. God had judged the nation of Israel. He gave them 490 years to keep the Sabbath and do right. They did not. So God said, I'll take my Sabbaths all at one time. And he judged them for 70 years. He took 1 year for every Sabbath they missed over 490 years. And Nebuchadnezzar came in and laid Israel waste. They destroyed the whole nation. They took captivity captive. And much of the Bible was the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, were prophesying, saying, look, either change or God's going to bring judgment to you. change or God's going to bring judgment to you. Or you had those that were preaching during the time of that 70 years. And then you had the rebuilding after that 70 years. That's Ezra, Nehemiah, those parts of the Bible. And so much of the Old Testament is about this 70 years of captivity. Now, it started with Babylon, and then it went to other nations that took them over during that 70 years. But Babylon was the beginning of that. And what happened was this. King Nebuchadnezzar came in, and he took the best of the young people of the children of Israel. He took those that were skillful in science and in learning. He took the upper echelon of young people because he was going to train them for 3 years. And after 3 years in captivity, he was going to use those Jewish young people to lead the Jews that were in captivity and bring them into the Babylonian way and kind of be sub-leaders under Nebuchadnezzar. Does that make sense to everybody? So he was training a group of them to lead them that would follow the king. And that's what the book of Daniel is about. Daniel was one of those young men. You've heard the name Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Well, that's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And that's why they changed their names. But what happened was this. Nebuchadnezzar said, look, we're going to take these young people. We're going to train them for 3 years. I'll give them a portion of the king's meat. We'll train them just like my staff and my family, as though they're going to take over the kingdom. And after 3 years, they'll be ready to help lead this country. So they began. Now, I want you to notice something. They were being treated well. They weren't slaves. They were being treated as leadership in the land. Nebuchadnezzar was not necessarily a good person, but he was giving them new clothing. He gave them new names. He was giving them a new diet. He was changing them culturally as well as mentally. And he was trying to bring them into the Babylonian way of living. Now, there were four young men that decided they weren't going to make all the changes, though. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego decided they weren't going to change everything. I want you to notice verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He said, I might be able to learn a new language, and it won't be against God. I don't have to wear necessarily Hebrew clothing, and it won't be sinful. I won't dress in a sinful way, even though it might be a different type of clothing that I would wear, but it won't be sinful. But me as a Jew, there are some things I'm not supposed to eat, and there's certain things I'm not supposed to drink, and I'm not changing my diet for anybody. He had to take a stand. Now, I want you to notice something. I'm going to be a little bit politically incorrect for a moment, but that's not unusual. Daniel did not stage a protest carrying signs that said, Nebuchadnezzar will not be our king.
Right.
I'm sorry, I wrote that down in my office this week and I started laughing. I walked over to my secretary's office and said, I got to tell you something. She heard this part of the sermon. That was it, but I was laughing. They didn't leave their classrooms and sit down in their street to express their opposition to Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't have cry rooms with Play-Doh and hot chocolate and coloring books to de-stress in, like the University of Michigan Law School. Lord have mercy. We did not see Daniel and his friends saying, it doesn't matter what the leader says, they'll only obey if the leader agrees with them. And we didn't have children in schools who weren't even old enough to vote being programmed to go out and protest against President Trump. And certainly, they weren't burning Nebuchadnezzar's image in effigy, as they did in the school in San Antonio of Mr. Trump this week, when a school teacher allowed them, listen to this, to have a play that there was an assassination with gunshots from a young man's cell phone. Wow. Now, you can't chew a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun without getting expelled when you're a kindergartner, but you can play gunshot on your phone and express it as a assassination attempt on Trump in a public school, but that's okay. Everybody doing all right? Daniel asked the prince of the eunuchs. This was the head fella that was over his group, so to speak. His supervisor, his administrator, however you want to say it. If they could maybe try something. He said, I appreciate all that the king is doing for us, but you have to understand something. I'm a Jew, and I'm not going to defile myself with certain food. I'm a Jew, and I just won't do it. And he said, I'm not trying to be obstinate, but I need to take a stand here. Is there something we could work out? And the prince of the eunuch said, look, you don't understand. If we don't do what the king says, I'm going to get my head chopped off. I'm going to die. You don't know King Nebuchadnezzar like I do. He said, tell you what. He said, what if you allow me and my three friends to eat right for the next 10 days? And after 10 days, you look at us and you look at the other Jews that aren't taking this stand, because that's what it was about. And said, you decide after 10 days, and after 10 days, if we're not as healthy or healthier than they are, then we'll change. He said, I think I could squeeze 10 days out of this thing. So they did. I want you to notice only four of the Jewish young men decided to take that stand. There were thousands that were taken in. Where were the rest of the Jewish young people? Only four of them decided to stand up. The rest of them decided to change with it. Now, after 10 days, they ate scripturally correct. And after 10 days, the prince of the eunuchs looked at Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And he looked at the other and said, you fellas look, the Bible says, fairer and fatter of flesh. I understand the fatter of flesh, but he said, you're more healthily looking than the others. You can continue. Matter of fact, if you look all the way down into verse number 18, it says, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, the prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. Among all that was found, none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah that stood before the king. Not only 3 years later, after having taken their stand, the king said, those four stand out among everybody. Even the king saw the difference in them. He didn't ask what the difference was, praise the Lord, but he saw a difference in them. Now, can you imagine what the rest of the Jews were saying? I can imagine their fellow Jews making fun of these four guys. I can imagine them saying, you are trying to play holier than thou. You need to get up with the culture in the modern times. We're not back home anymore. We're all grown up now. I can go on and on and on. They were called Bible thumpers and goody two shoes, and it didn't matter. They did it anyway. And the king himself saw the difference. Now, I say all that to say this. In the next week to actually next 6 weeks or so, you're going to be around family and coworkers that won't live right. I've worked in the world and I've had to go to certain parties. But I took a stand even at those things. You're going to have to be around family that either isn't saved or doesn't live right. And you'll even have to take a stand amongst your own family sometimes. You may even have to take a stand against your own children. I've been there. But may I say this, there's a way to do it and do it appropriately. Many people that you'll be around won't understand how to live the Christian life. And they're not going to understand you if you do. But if you'll give me a chance here, I think I can show you something biblically to show you how to take your stand biblically and make the least amount of damage. All right? I didn't say there won't be damage. I didn't say there won't be comments made. But you can make the least amount of damage. Now, let me say right here. We all have family like that. Okay? We do. I don't know anybody in here that has a family. And even as much as I like to say my family is all saved, not all of them live separated. I've had run-in with family. I won't tell you who. I don't want to belittle them. But years ago, one of my family members, we were staying with them. It wasn't my mom and dad. All right? I stayed several days with them, with my family. They were doing some things that I chose not to do. Matter of fact, I wasn't even there. I was with one of those family members elsewhere. And that person's wife called them and said, "You wouldn't believe what Craig's family just did." My children took a stand not doing something that I told them not to do. And they very quietly just did it. And this person looked at me and said, "What are you doing? You're messing everybody's fun up." I said, "It's okay." I said, "I'm at your place. I have no right to tell you what to do." I said, "But it doesn't mean that I have to do those things or my children." I said, "It's okay." Well, I found out later they were a little upset with me and called me a coward to somebody. I called them straight up and said, "Hey, look, I had enough respect for you. It wasn't a matter of being afraid. I'm not afraid of anything, I believe. You just listen to any sermon I've preached over the last X amount of years. You'll find out I'm not afraid." I said, "I did that because I was in your home. I can't expect you to live by my rules in your home." I said, "I respect you enough not to ask you to change your rules in your home, but I don't have to live by those rules, nor do my children." Correct. We set the record straight. Amen? Amen. Now, we still get along. We don't live in the same house, praise the Lord, because then we'd live by my rules, and they wouldn't live there. So, and it doesn't mean they're bad people, but we don't see life at the same direction. Everybody understand what I'm talking about here?
Yep.
All right. Now, number one, let me help you. We need to let God and the Bible decide right and wrong, not our opinion or how we see it. We need to let God and the Word of God decide what's right and wrong, not how we see it.
That's right.
Do you know in Genesis chapter 3 what the first sin was? The first sin was man deciding what was right and wrong, not God. When Satan came to Eve and said, "Even the day thou eatest, thou shalt not surely die," you can discern good and evil for yourself. You don't need God to tell you what's right and wrong. You can decide right and wrong for yourself. And since that day, man is in a conflict of what is right. Well, I don't know what that was, but praise the Lord. Testing one. Man, devil doesn't like this one, amen? Now, he'll work on that. It all turned off and it's turning back on. Have no fear. Praise the Lord.
Did you see me just about let go of that microphone?
That was exciting, amen? There was power there. Yeah. Testing one, two. No, I don't think it. I think this is what went, Brother Barnes. I'm not sure, but I'll stay behind here. Wow, that was exciting. No marks. We're okay. That's a trigger hand. I didn't want that. Amen. I got to be able to pull a trigger this week. Testing one, two. It's still something. Testing. Oh. That could have been the problem all wrong. Light off means it's on. Light on means it's off. All right, here we go. Where was I? All right. We need to decide that God and the Bible decides what's right and wrong, not us. I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know that dress standards are decided by God, not us? Did you know that what is right and wrong to eat and drink is decided by God, not us?
Yes, sir.
I know Christians that now say, well, Jesus turned water into wine, so wine is okay. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy, it says, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. So medicinally, it's okay to drink alcohol. Do you know there's two different meanings for the word wine? If you go to the Middle East and where the Bible was at that day, much of the water was not drinkable. It was hard on the stomach. They would put a little juice, grape juice, in it to neutralize it so that their stomach could take it. That's what take a little wine for thy stomach's sake means. It was not alcohol. When Jesus turned the water into wine in Canaan, it wasn't alcoholic beverages, it was juice. That's why he said you saved it the best, the new wine. New wine is juice. Soon as the juice leaves the fruit, it's called wine. If you went to Welch's grape juice factory, they call it a winery. Because as soon as the juice leaves the fruit, it's called wine. Can you shut that door for me there, Brother Ron? He's all right. Now, listen to me very carefully. Jesus said if you put a bottle of alcohol to your brother's lips, you're guilty of damnation. Why would Jesus make something that would be damnation? Right. Wine is a mocker, yeah. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Jesus never put a drunken bottle of alcohol to anybody's lips.
That's right, correct.
Now, so we aren't to decide what we think is right and wrong. We're to let God do it. In Judges chapter 21, verse 25, we won't turn there. The time of the judges was one of the most evil, vile, hardest time in Jewish history. They decided they didn't want a king anymore, and they just judges would rise up, and they would judge the land. They had little leadership battles here and there, and you had different judges that would judge the land. You get all the way through this period of time, very rough, difficult time, and the Bible says in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It wasn't a matter, by the way, I want you to notice, it didn't say they did that which was wrong. They did that which was right in their own eyes. Did you know that Mrs. Clinton honestly thinks she's right? She doesn't think she's wrong. Do you know that Vladimir Putin thinks he's right? Do you know that, who's the guy in Korea? Kim Jong-il, is that his name? I think I got it right. Is that pretty close? Kim Jong-il thinks he's right. Do you know that Hitler thought he was right? He did that which was right in his own eyes. I don't think people set out to do wrong, but they want to decide what right and wrong is. Now, they wanted to be the decider. They wanted to play God about right and wrong. We need to let the Bible, in biblical principle, decide what is right and wrong. Do you know, I don't have to decide if I'm going to go to church Christmas Sunday morning. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together as a manner of some is. I'm going to church.
Amen.
If my family comes in town and they don't want to go to church, they're going to sit somewhere and I'm going to go to church. You say, well, we expect that, preacher, because you're the preacher. Why is it okay for me to have to do that, but it's not okay for you? Everybody doing all right? I'm a Christian first. Just because family comes in town doesn't mean that you go ahead and do what you want, dress the way they want so they don't feel bad. I have family that doesn't dress right, ladies in my family, but I don't tell my wife, well, you can go ahead and dress like them while they're here so they don't feel bad. No, you dress right whether they do or not.
Right.
And I've never had to tell my wife that because she's not going to dress wrong. Just because everybody else is doing, by the way, when the family gets together and everybody's got that part of the family that likes to gossip, y'all know what I'm talking about. It might be Aunt Gertrude or Uncle Harry or whoever, but somebody's going to want to get all the scoop, all right? Do you know I don't play gossip with family? Not at all. My wife's got an uncle. Bless his heart. He's a good guy, but he sure does like to spread negative. And I'll just look at him and say, Doc, let's change the subject. I don't want to go there. Oh, that's right, Craig. Okay. And on we go. That's all I got to do now is just look at him. Don't go there. I said, no, don't go there. All right. You know, you don't have to participate in evil with your family. Y'all know what I'm talking about? This group's against that group in the family, and they're talking bad about these people, and all of a sudden you decide, well, this is a good chance for me to get it off my chest. You don't need to get it off your chest. That's bitterness. You don't need to talk and get involved in evil. And by the way, be careful. Don't laugh at sin. If Uncle Oswald gets drunk and he's falling all over himself doing stupid things, it doesn't mean that you laugh at him. It ought to disgust you, not make you laugh. We shouldn't laugh at sin. Everybody doing all right?
Yep.
Man, I'm having fun here. Come on, preacher, let's do it. Learn to kindly steer conversation politely or step away. Yes. Kindly. When I know I'm going to be in a situation that could be uncomfortable, I usually talk to the leader of that situation beforehand and say, you know what? We're going to be there. I'm not going to be there long. I'm going to be there from here to here. But if this starts happening, I'm going to take off a little early. Don't get mad. I'm not mad at you. I'm just not going to put my family through that. And I'm not mad at you for allowing it. I'm just telling you what I need to do for my family's sake. And I just want you to know in advance, I'm not mad, I'm not hurt, I'm not upset, but this is the way it's going to be. Got it? And that's what I do. They're, oh yeah, 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 that's okay. When I was working in a machine shop, we had, every year, they shut the shop down. I worked second shift. They would have the Christmas party. They'd shut the shop down. And you had to go to the Christmas party. Well, I looked at my boss, I said, but most of these people drink alcohol. I said, I'm not going to be there if there's alcohol. Number one, I'm not allowed to by order of the college. Number two, first of all, I'm a Christian. I don't want to be around it.
Right.
I said, so as soon as the alcohol starts, I'm leaving. My boss said, tell you what, we'll let you Baptists stay for the first part of it, and we'll get through what's necessary, and then I'll let you know before I let them drink. I said, no problem. I remember the last year we were there. You have to understand, my boss was 6'8" and weighed about 360, 370 pounds. His goal in life was to weigh himself on a regular scale and not have to use the weighing scales at the shop. All right? He had a head on him about that big, around, as big as a pumpkin. I mean, he was a big man. You know, a guy that big, all he's got to do is look at you and you crush. He was a multimillionaire. We were at his house. There must have been about 60 of us or so at the house that day, and there was plenty of room. And all of a sudden, you heard the boss get up, and he said, all right, you Baptists, you got 10 minutes before they break out stuff that you don't want to be at, so say goodbye. So the Baptists said goodbye, and we left. And by the way, he's still my friend. About once every year or so, we send a letter or email back and forth to each other. But I didn't stay through the drunken part of the party. By the way, he respected us for that. But we prearranged it so I didn't have to stand up in the middle of it and say, bless God, you bunch of drunken pigs. I got to get out. Now, that's not the right way to handle it.
Right.
All right? You're wrong at that point in time.
You
had enough warning that something was coming. Work it out beforehand. Be kind about it. Everybody understand where we're headed there? Man, I'm having fun. So, learn to kindly take your stand. Let them know in advance. learn to be a good conversationalist and change conversations. You know, if Aunt Gertrude's going to give you the lowdown on everybody in the family, learn to say, Aunt Gertrude, couldn't we talk about something better than that? How about we talk about and have a whole list of things to talk about? You know, everybody's got one of those. Y'all know what I mean? It gets exciting. All right, number two. So, number one, we have to let the Bible and God decide what's right and wrong, not what we think is right and wrong. Number two. Are you ready? Smile. I love you. Those who stand for right will usually have a minority of those with you. You're going to be lonely.
Yes.
Right. I'm just going to warn you. Not everybody lives this way. Only four of the Jews stood that way. Now, and someday I'll teach on Daniel's life a little bit, and it might surprise you. But I want you to notice verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Skip down to verse 17. As for these, how many? Children. God gave them four children. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Notice there was only four of them. They all didn't do it. Usually when all of somebody is doing something, I'm going the other way. I found out the crowd usually doesn't go the right direction. The harder the stand, the fewer people there'll be that'll stand with you. I'm going to tell you something. The harder stand you have to make, the fewer people are going to come to your side. I've had to make some tough stands in my life. Lord knows I've made some tough stands. And I've had people that have made much tougher. I understand that. But I've had to make some pretty tough stands in my life. Can I tell you something? You're going to be lonely. Each stand you take, though, makes you stronger for the next one. Just because it's hard doesn't mean you don't do it. You know, as you're raising children, we live in such a wimpy society.
Amen.
College people that are in law school at the University of Michigan that need a room to play with Play-Doh, coloring books, have hot chocolate because they're too stressed over the results of the election. College students, not children, college students. University of Law of Michigan. Folks, we live in a wimpy society. We're raising a bunch of whiny baby, cry baby people in our society. I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you why so many people are protesting, because they know Mr. Trump's going to bring jobs back and he's going to quit the handouts and people are going to have to work for a living.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Preach it.
I'm telling you right now.
Yep.
They're going to have to get a job or they're going to go hungry.
Amen.
Now, whether I agree with everything about what he does or not isn't the issue. But I do respect a couple things about him. He does know how to work.
Right. Yes, sir.
He does know how to employ people. And he doesn't employ lazy people.
Nope.
People understand they're going to have to work. And by the way, I'll tell you something I respect. I said it this morning. Mr. Trump has already decided he will not take the presidential salary. He has to legally take $1 a year. He will. He's also refused the pension that goes with it. He said, no, I'm here to help my country, not take the money. I respect that. I respect that. Now, do I agree with everything about his life? Probably not. But I can look back over times of my life that I don't agree with everything I did either.
Right.
So why should it be any different for him? But may I say this? He's earning my respect. He's choosing some decent people. I think we ought to give the man a chance. But watch this. The harder the stand you take, the fewer people will stand with you. I'll promise you this. He has to have loyal people around him. Look at how he's been shot at. In your lifetime, you've never seen somebody run for office that's been attacked as much as he has been. I promise you. I promise you. He fought all of the money of the Clintons and all of the Democrat Party and won.
Amen. That's right.
Don't you think there's a mark on him somewhere? Man, he's been being fired at. And don't take this nice guy sitting at the Oval Office with the president saying, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. You have to understand, he's still our president for 2 months. He could make life very difficult for the next 60 days. He could really do some damage. He's using his negotiation skills. I have a feeling on January 20th, you're going to see a different Mr. Trump in the White House, in the Oval Office. He's going to say, I just smiled and said, yes, yes, yes. It doesn't mean I'm doing it.
Amen.
You just wait and see. He's not the kind of guy that's wishy-washy.
Right.
Now, do I think he's going to be the greatest president ever? No. But I think he can help our country right now. By the way, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, and Daniel took this stand, but I want you to notice later in the book of Daniel, you find out three of these young men faced the fiery furnace. They literally would not bow before the idol, and they were thrown into a fiery furnace. God delivered them, and they walked out of the fiery furnace, unharmed, unsinged, not even smelling like smoke. That's better than some Christians. Can I tell you something? That was a tougher stand than I won't defile myself with a portion of the king's meat. Face going into a fiery furnace, heated up 7 times hotter.
Yeah. Right, sir.
That's a little tougher stand. By the way, before you get too going here, where was Daniel in that one? Daniel didn't even take that stand. But you do find out later in life that Daniel kept praying. He faced the lion's den. Everybody doing all right? I didn't mean to spoil your thought of Daniel. But Daniel was there. Because the Bible says so. Now, no stand is easy, but knowing what to stand for is easy.
Correct.
Can I tell you something? Anytime I've got to take a stand with my wife's family or my family, I get that pit in my gut. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Right.
I know when we go to her family, sometimes we have to, there was a party they threw one time and I knew what was going to take place. I did. I went to her mom and said, Mom, we'll be there until this happens. And then we're just going to slide out. Well, I don't think they'll do that. I said, trust me. Uncle so-and-so, it's going to happen.
Sure.
Oh, no, it won't happen. I told my kids, I said, when I look at you and go, we're not going to say anything. We're just going to leave. Okay. Sure enough, partway into the party, we just kind of slid away. That uncle came to me. Man, how, what? I said, because you brought out the booze, dude. I told you before, you bring it out, I'm gone. I said, I love you, but I am not going to put my kids through that, and I'm not going to sit through that. Well, that's right, I forgot about that. I said, yeah. I said, I'm not mad. I said, we got to be there for part of it? Great, no problem. I said, nobody even noticed we left. They were half drunk by the time they realized we were gone. It's okay. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't mean they're bad people. They're not like we are.
Right.
I love them. They call us. They call my kids to this day. By the way, we've seen a whole bunch of them get saved.
Amen.
It's exciting. So, number three. Number one, let God and the Bible decide. Number two, those who stand for right usually will have to do it alone. And number three, standing does not mean a bad attitude. But standing doesn't mean that you agree with what's going on. It doesn't mean that you just say, well, I have to accept it. It's my family, so I'm going to have to sit there and go through all this. No, you don't. Who said that? The very people that are there telling you, you have to do that? Nebuchadnezzar said they had to do it, but they didn't do it.
True.
It amazes me that because somebody shares a family name, we think we have to do something. Well, I hate to tell you, I love my dad and I love my mom, but if they told me to do something wrong, I'm not doing it. I love them to death. But I'm not going to do wrong. I don't care what the last name is. Everybody doing all right?
Yep.
I love my in-laws. I really do. But if it comes to doing right or doing wrong, I don't care who they are. We're not doing wrong.
Right.
I can get lost for a while and not be around it. Doesn't take me long at all. I'm not going to be angry with them. But if they force me into it, I'm going to take my stand. But I'm not going to do it with a bad attitude. You don't need to be angry with others that don't understand. Do you know I don't get upset at my family that doesn't live the way I live? I have family that's been in town and will not darken the door of this church, ever. I'm not mad at them. I'm not. I expect it. Hasn't changed in 25 years. Why would it change now? If it does, glory to God. If it doesn't, I'm not disappointed. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I mean, I have close family. You don't even know who they are, and they've been in town. They'll sit at my mom and dad's house while we go to church. Okay. Or they come in after church on Sunday night and leave before church on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. I can love them. I don't expect them to live my way, but I'm happier than they are, that's for sure. Being nice doesn't mean you have to be a wet noodle or have a backbone or rope either.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You know, I can be nice, but I don't have a wet noodle. Y'all, did you ever try to pick up a wet noodle? Yeah, it's just kind of floppy, gushy. That's the way most people think you have to be as a Christian. Can I tell you something? My backbone's straight and it's hard and I'm not changing for anybody.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
But I don't have to have a bad attitude while I do it.
That's right.
If my dad Thursday at Thanksgiving decides it's time this year to break out the champagne and drink, I'm leaving. So's my mother. So, Dad, you're going to drink by yourself. All right, but that was funny. I'm sorry. I got to use the ridiculous to illustrate the obvious. But may I say this? If something like that were to happen, I'm going to speak up. Not just because it's family. I'm just not going to put my family through that.
Right.
It's just that simple. You know, the world is begging for someone to stand strong.
Yes.
Our country is starved for leadership. You say, how do you know that? Mr. Trump won.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
And the majority of the rural people in America stood up and came out by the droves and voted. And by the way, there was more inner city people that voted for Mr. Trump than you think.
That's right.
Right.
And I'm not a racial person. The racial people in this country are the liberals, not the conservatives. The liberals are the people labeling them black, white, women, LGBT, working white class, working white women, uneducated women, educated women. They're the ones that break it down into that, not us. If you notice, Mr. Trump talked to the people of America, not groups.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Liberals caused the divide. My uncle sent me a video of a black lady saying, "Will you all quit crying?" She said, "Y'all are ashamed." Just she said, I was like, "Come on, sister, say it." She was going at it. I was having fun. She was saying, "Maybe we ought to get back to being Americans and not worried about what the color of our skin is or what your body parts are."
That's right.
Like, wow, she was going at it. Good for her.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people like that.
Yes, sir.
May I say something? America's begging for somebody to stand up and lead.
That's right.
They don't necessarily like it, but once they have it, they sure do. I work around strong ladies from time to time. Can I tell you what? A strong lady that's around a strong man doesn't have a hard time submitting. Every once in a while, you got to be a little harder on them because they get a little strong-willed. You know, yeah, it's okay, come on. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's okay, preacher. It happens. Every once in a while, I got to look at one of these strong ladies and say, who are you talking to? Oh, that's right. I'm not angry. They just didn't realize that I wasn't some wet noodle they're going to walk on. It's all right. I got to be, now, if I looked at my wife and went, yeah, it's all over. But I've worked with some ladies before where I've had to get a little tough on them just because they're a little bit more stronger willed. I don't have to go, yeah, to her, just my dog. Say, what does my dog do? My dog goes, you know, tail down, and she hears that word, and she coming in, ears down. She wouldn't come in this evening. It was blowing hard. You know, the wind's blowing 67,000 miles an hour out there, and she didn't hear me. I went, yeah, get in here. She come back like this, and I thought, what are you cowering for? And I realized, you said, yeah. Dumb dog. I said, you're fine. You know, people are looking for somebody strong to lead. Can I tell you something? America, I believe, has a chance for revival.
Right.
Finally got a man in the White House that's willing to be a man.
Amen. That's right.
Now, will we agree with everything? No, we're not. But at least he's going to give us a chance to keep some of our freedoms. Might bring some of them back.
Yes, that's right.
And at least we're going to have some leaders in office.
Amen.
Did you notice the liberals are already crying?
Right.
Well, his cabinet's not going to be diverse enough. It won't represent America. How about we choose leaders rather than diversity? I'd rather have somebody that's qualified than make sure we have enough blacks, whites, reds, yellows, LGBT. Good night. Let's have somebody qualified to run the thing. I'm not going
to
pass somebody up if they're a different color. But if they're not qualified, they're not qualified. There's an awful lot of white people that won't qualify. It doesn't matter the color of the skin. But it does matter, can you lead the department that we need you to lead?
That's right.
And if not, get out of the way.
Right.
You say, how do you know he's going to be that way? That's why Mr. Pence took over the transition team and he kicked Christie off.
Right.
Christie was bringing in all these, what do you call those people that are paid? Yeah, that's the word, lobbyists. Trump said, I campaigned on, we're not doing that. You move over. Mike, you come over here. You run things. Chris, you work with Mike on this, but he's leading it. You follow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like that.
Amen. Amen. Right.
I like that. Now, Mr. Christie's not one of my favorite people in the world. And I'm glad he had enough sense to look right through it and say, you just stepped out of line. You're done. Oh, there's trouble in River City. No, you finally got a man that knows how to lead something. Put the right people in the right place.
Right.
Would it be my choice? I didn't interview them. How would I know? Well, folks, standing doesn't mean you have a bad attitude. Let God decide right and wrong. You don't decide it. And realize not everybody's going to make the stand you make. But it's okay. You keep standing on right because it's right to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. That's how you'll get through the holidays. It's how you won't regret being with people and things that are difficult to go through. You just stand for right because it's right to do.